I got my buddy Eric. Super excited to have him on my second episode of Deep Dive. Eric is going to be joining us to kind of talk about not only the career pivot, but also Eric is going to be describing what he's done successfully in his career to be able to pivot in 2025. But we're going to be discussing some topics specifically around how to improve and how to navigate those different relationships, but also how to actually think for yourself to reskill and rebuild. So go ahead, Eric, and introduce yourself.
Thanks for having me on, Clarence. I'm excited to just share, my journey here. Born and raised here in San Diego, California kid at heart. It's been about 36 years now. I don't plan on moving, and super, super expensive out here. So that's why I needed to make the jump into this specific career that I'm in now. But I spent about 16 years of my life working at Costco, got sick and tired of it, didn't know what I wanted to do. I was also wearing multiple hats. I was also a youth pastor as I'm also a youth pastor as well. And so one of my youth parents pulled me aside one day and said, "Hey, I hear you complaining a lot about, your job here at Costco. You should come work for me." And I was like, "Okay, what do you do?" And she told me she was in the funeral industry. And I was like, that sounds crazy, but hey, why not? I hated where I was at so much to the point where I was willing to work in in the funeral industry. And so I jumped into that doing the sales side of things, though. I wasn't doing anything crazy like putting on makeup on dead people or anything like that. It was the sales side of it. So I jumped into the sales B2C, business to consumer. Really enjoyed the autonomy, the autonomous, word I'm for, just the independence that I had. Just being able to have a say on my own schedule and how hard I wanted to work. So I learned a lot of cool skills jumping into that industry and sales specifically. And then quickly realized that it was a dying business, literally.
It
And
was
then I
hard to
was like,
stick into the dying side of the business.
So I was like, there has to be something else out here. Started chat GPTing, hey, like, what is the best sales, industry to get into? And I came across a couple videos on YouTube and they started talking about software sales, tech sales, and all that stuff. And that's when I made a jump and said, you know what, let me try to shoot my shot with some of these companies. And I joined a boot camp. Did that boot camp for a quick 3 months, and then jumped into LinkedIn and just started applying to the tech world. And
And what were
that's
some steps that you took? As you said, you were at Costco. Talk me through some of that. Like, if somebody right now was like, hey, I've been working the same job for 16 years or 5 years, what was the feeling to like say I'm gonna leave?
man, the feeling of burnout. The feeling
Burnout.
of constantly being bossed around, and no matter how hard I worked, Clarence, it was never good enough. And knowing that I'm capped at a certain amount and I couldn't make more, and the leadership role, the roles above me was not even desirable, just seeing how miserable some of the leadership was there already, I was like, man, this is I have to get out of here. I had to get out of here. And something I quickly realized is, that saying of like, you are who you hang out with, you are who you hang out around. It is really true. I started coming into work just bickering and super miserable. And I was like, man, why am I so miserable here all the time? And it's because everybody else was miserable. And so if they're miserable, I'm going to be miserable. And so I realized I had to change my environment. No matter how uncomfortable I was like, I realized I need to get myself out of this mindset, and I need to really get myself out of this context, and I really needed to be around people who were really like-minded and really wanted to jump into personal growth and stuff like that, who really cared about just succeeding in life and winning in life when it comes to a career decision. So that's
And
why I
Eric,
had to make that jump.
if you don't mind me asking, through that transition, what is success and what did that success in a new career look like and mean for you? Was it, the trajectory to move further in your career? Was it, like you mentioned, the opportunity to earn more money? as working in tech sales. What was it that kind of drove you to really want to make that change specifically?
Yeah, I felt like so correct me if I'm wrong, like the question you're asking is what defines success to me?
Yeah, for you in that moment of what was it that defined, okay, if I go after this, once I'm there, that would have been my point of getting to the where I would describe my success. Like, well, can you describe that to me if you can?
Yeah, so what made me realize what, sorry, I'm trying to still wrap my mind. I had a long day.
No, you are
So
good.
what made me realize like or that it is successful, that I'm being successful is I was accomplishing things that I thought I never would have accomplished. And the giftings that I know that I was made for certain ways, and the ways that I was being utilized at Costco was not being leveraged to the best of my ability, if that makes sense. Like
No, that makes 100% sense.
I knew that I was made for more. I knew that I had the skills to get me to where I wanted to be, the amount of money that I wanted to make. I knew that I was capable of doing a lot, and I felt like I was being capped, and I was the ways that I was made was not being utilized. You get what I'm
Okay.
saying? And
No, a hundred
so
percent.
I had to figure out what was gonna allow me to utilize the way that I was made and the ways that the things that I enjoyed doing. And that's when I made a jump into software sales, and I realized like, yeah, like I really enjoy doing what I'm doing here. And people acknowledge the hard work that I put in. So that was a success. That was a win. The fact that I make more money than I ever did working at Costco less than a year, that was success to me. You know, being acknowledged for my hard work and just being seen and noticed, like that's a success for me.
Awesome.
Enjoying my job, that's a success for me. So yeah, I don't know if that answered your question, but
No, that was a great
yeah.
answer to my question. And that's what leads me into, wanting to kind of overlay what success in career means to me too. I wanted to share some photos as I'm thinking of my nana and grandpa of
Yeah.
people in the 1950s. My grandfather here worked at Ford for about 40 years and retired. And in that
Wow.
photo specifically, as he's shaking those guys' hands, he never got promoted until after putting in 30 years of work, where the
Yeah.
opportunity for him as a black man to actually get promoted wasn't really seen. But when he did it, he had hoped that, as we go into the future of 2025, I could have a chance to become whatever I want to be. So, when I'm using those photos and kind of using your story, it kind of makes sense that even for you and your family, and even for other people like myself and anyone who, will be watching or listening, it doesn't always matter about where you come from or where you at, or even where you start. It's also a matter of where you're trying to go and how, what is it going to take to get there. So, that was some really good insight, and thank you for sharing that with us. And as far as building on your career, where do you see yourself going in the future? Where would you like to be?
Now that it's so wild looking back to where I was, and man, it's so wild. You know, I had if you were to had asked me this question couple months ago, my goal, or a couple years ago, my goal was, hey, I want to become the top SDR, whatever company that I work at. I want to be an SDR, and I want to be the best SDR there is. So I did that. And then I was like, now I want to jump into an account executive, and I want to become the best account executive there is. I want to learn all the sales cycle, the skills, the methodology, all that stuff. So short term, I want to become the best account executive there ever is in the current company that I'm working at. But long term, man, I want to step into a role where I do create an opportunity for people, like kind of like what you are doing, Clarence. You know, you've opened up a lot of opportunities for people, and to be able to do that, you know, sales leadership or any form of leadership, to where you get to speak into someone's life and help them and motivate them and encourage them, help them feel seen and step into the ways that God has made them. It just, there's no amount of joy that can compare to that, you know? So yeah, to answer your question, I think some sort of leadership in sales would be my long-term goal. But my short-term goal right now is what I'm looking at is becoming the best account executive there ever is in the current company that I work at, or whatever company I decide to move into.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful because that leads me into signs of being stuck, you know what I mean? And asking yourself, like you said, like when it is time to move into that next role, how do you differentiate burnout versus lack of motivation? Or also kind of like we've talked about before, like all of us are a different live in different states. We all live in different parts of the world. We all are different ages or phases of our life. Like, when was it where you were like, okay, I'm not comparing myself to anybody else, but I'm gonna just go stop what I'm doing here and go do something else? Like, what was that feeling like? Where did you feel peer pressure from an age or demographic? Like, talk to me through some of that. Was there any pressure from like your family or being like, for me, as a black man, I'm like, oh man, I'm like, I gotta, focus on my career so that I can give my family the life I want. But at the same time, like, are there stigmas from my family that I gotta focus on too? So I didn't know if that was anything that, as you were pivoting, like people were like, Eric, I would stick to that day job if I were you, player, and stick to what you know.
Man, I was so burnt out and just trying to like I look at my kids, right? I have a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old, and I don't ever want them to look at me. I don't ever want them to look at dad and say, man, my dad just worked at Costco. They didn't necessarily put that pressure on me. It was me just desiring to show my kids that they can do whatever it is that they put their mind to. And so in order for me to preach that, I need to also live that out myself. And so what I did was I cut the safety net, I cut the scarcity mindset out. I had to retrain my mindset to step into that growth mindset where I am today. And like nobody was necessarily putting pressure on me. It was just me wanting more for myself and my family. And I never did well in college. I hated school with a passion. I just hated just sitting in the classroom and trying to learn about stuff that I didn't really need to learn about that wasn't really going to make me money,
Hundred percent.
my parents always wanted me. They're refugees from Southeast Asia, came over to
Oh, wow.
America. Was hoping that I would be the financial savior, but I got caught up in life in gangs and stuff like that, and then never went to college, never became a doctor or a lawyer, worked at Costco and became a youth pastor, and they're just like, what's going on? But then I jumped in, I discovered software sales, and I was like, man, this is an opportunity for me to show them like college is not the only option. You can be successful with or without a college degree. And you could be whatever it is that you want to be, when you put your mind to it. And so, yeah, it took me just realizing I needed to want it more for myself than anything. And I did. I wanted it more for myself. I was burnt out of where I was. I did not like where I was at. It was just, again, a scarcity mindset. And I was just waiting for God to just place something on my lap to change my circumstances. But that's you and I know that's not how it works. You have to
That's not how it works.
put in the work. You have to really want it yourself. You have to go get after it. And my favorite quote in life is those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So if you're just stuck doing the same thing over and over and you're not learning from, the situation that you're
Not
in, you're just
growing.
gonna exactly, so you're just gonna be stuck, continue to be stuck. Sorry, that was long-winded.
No, that was great. I mean, that was kind of what I was looking for because you're absolutely right. Whenever I'm thinking of, I share with you, I started off flipping eggs and pancakes. And mind you, there's nothing wrong with working at Costco. There's nothing wrong with working whatever job you want to work because you can take your check and go drop it in the S&P 500 and live your life and scale your money that way, right? So what we're talking about here is people who are really looking to get growth from not only a professional way, but using, their career as a stepping stone to work on hard and soft skills, similar to what we've talked about, where, hey, if I go and I'm looking to move forward, how many skills is Costco or flipping bacon and eggs and pancakes don't really teach me. You know, having my grandmother walk by and wave in the kitchen, tell me, keep up the good job, baby. I love you. You know, hey, I love her to death now. We cook for grandma all day now. Don't get me wrong, but we just like, look, we can't be cooking all the time. You know, we got to do something different. So you absolutely right. You know, looking to pivot and then taking the advice. And how I got into my career is, my wife laughs now, but you know, it was a point of thinking of, okay, I don't get to see my family a whole lot and I need to spend more time with them. How can I do that? You know, and really, you know, any restaurant you work at, Saturday and Sundays are always your busier days. With that being said, you know, I was like, hey, I'm looking to grow too. And there's really not a whole lot of growth sometimes in restaurants, especially when you're in a small town like myself. They're a lot locally owned. There's not a lot of chains, if that makes sense. So the balance of where you get to, how you get to it, I was like, all I know is I don't want to be in a warehouse working, because they keep pushing on me is this manufacturing. And I'm telling them, look, I don't want to do that. I'm not disrespectful. I just am tired of sweating in the manufacturing. I'm tired of freezing in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no in between in there.
Gosh, man, when you mentioned that whole weekend thing, like my schedule was just always scheduled on the weekends. You know, like Drake said, working on the weekend like usual.
But it's
he just,
it break your heart. You like, why am I working this hard? And then you turn around, you done miss family events, miss Christmas parties, the miss soccer games. It's all bad, you know? So, I mean, career is not only important, but, you know, as you were going through the Coursera and different things, some of the things you alluded to, once you landed your tech job and you got it, you know, what were some things that you had to reskill about yourself?
Man, that's a good question. I had to constantly tell myself, you know, this is it was different. Like, I was working at home.
Yeah.
And where I was used to just driving to work 12 a.m. in the morning, 2 a.m. in the morning, you know, and I was like, man, I have to now restructure my whole day, understanding that I am the one that structure my day now. My day is not just ran by my employer. It still is in a sense, but I get to structure my day now skillfully, intentionally, understanding where to spend my time, where I'm going to be successful, where I'm not going to be successful. So those are some of the skills that I had to learn. Reaching out when I need help, learning how to reach out to the right individuals.
Yeah.
And then making sure that I get out and walk and get out in the sun and enjoy. But the cool part is I also get to schedule in time with my kids, like what you said, you know, like, and my wife. So just rewiring my brain, understanding like, hey, this is not, you know, it's not a bad thing that you're scheduling time to hang out with your kids or your wife. Like, you 100%. Need that. You can't be on the computer screen all the time, you know. So those are some of the skills that I had to learn, and then learning from others and the company, stuff like that. I had to learn hard skills, like understanding different softwares that we used and all that stuff. So
anyone who's going to be looking to maybe get into tech sales from an SDR account executive, can you share some free stuff that you did or some like specifics of what you went to look for tool wise to kind of help you get up to speed? As you said, hey, I went from Costco to funeral sales and then I jumped into software sales. So those are all three different industries of areas of a focus. So can you share some insights of what kind of steps or things you did?
Yeah, I just, again, going back to the whole surround yourself with people you want to be like. So, you know, what I did was I jumped on LinkedIn. I reached out to a bunch of SDRs, AEs, BDR managers, surrounded myself with a lot of the podcasts around tech sales, software sales, looked up a bunch of YouTube videos, trying to understand the lingo. And then really, really, really understanding too what I'm getting myself into. You know, and making sure that that's something that I really want to do, and not being not surprising myself, and not just hunting it for the sake of money, but also understanding like, hey, this is what I'm going to be. These are the challenges that I'm going to face, and these are ways that I can get out of those challenges, and not look at them as challenges, as failure, but an opportunity for growth. Right? I think one person that I spoke to once, they said, "There's no there's no growth in the comfort zone, and there's no comfort in the growth zone. And so, you know, understanding that when you're uncomfortable, it's an opportunity for you to grow, not for you to complain, but for you to grow. You know, like, what can I work on? You could either say, hey, man, this person sucked X, Y, and Z, or you can be like, hey, you know what? What can I do and what can I learn from this situation to make myself grow in my career, my profession? So some of those tips would be, like, surround yourself with people that you will want to look, will want to become. Don't be afraid to reach out to them via LinkedIn. You know, listen to a bunch of those podcasts, surround yourself with those people, because it's going to help you understand the industry that you want to jump into, and the career path you want to take.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's super helpful. And to give you some context, you're absolutely right. Things like Coursera, you know, myself thinking of being a hiring manager for the last 9 years, it's like when I'm looking at someone who's just looking to get into tech sales or even just change their career, whatever it looks like, it is always more helpful that they took the time to go learn what they need to know before they come in at some capacity. So you doing that, but also, like you said, reaching out to people on LinkedIn, that's super huge because that can leverage standing out. And then I wanted to talk about, you know, as you were applying for jobs, we have artificial intelligence, AI, you know, it's not really AI, it's just AI scraping the internet faster than the human web browser, but we call it AI right now. Whereas they're real versions, but as you were going through your, you know, roles and stuff, like, did this play a role with how you made your resume? Did this play a role with trying to kind of leverage it to your advantage? Like, what did you have, or did it also affect, like, you're like, wow, you know, recruiters are starting to use AI, so my resume has to look like this to kind of stand out with keywords, you know, anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely use AI to leverage myself, like the resume, stuff like that. But to stand out, because everybody else is using it too, right? So you need to stand out as well, and you need to get creative. And so figure out ways that's going to make you stand out and from the rest. So what I did was I made a bunch of Loom videos. If you don't know what Loom videos are, like, it's a personal video clip of like a kind of like a TikTok, but not really a TikTok. It's like a Vine, like when, I don't know if you remember Vine. It's like a quick 10, 15 second video. You're just introducing yourself. And that's really going to make you, what really made me stood out, because I saw the people that was opening my videos, you know. And then what I also did was I used Apollo. I think it's called Apollo's AI. But I would pull up LinkedIn and then I would pull up Apollo. And what that did was it gave me the contact of all the BDR managers that I was looking into. And then I would cold call the BDR managers and I would show them, hey, because now it's showing them that I have the skills of what it takes for me to do, you know, to do the job that I'm applying for.
Exactly.
So I would cold call them. I got their contact, and then I would LinkedIn them, and then I would email them, and then I would shoot them a text message, a Loom video, and, you know, just blowing them up and showing them, hey, I'm different. You know, I'm a different type of person than all these other people that are applying. That's what made me stood out. And so, yeah, definitely leverage the AI. Don't be afraid. Don't feel like you're competing against it. But you utilize it to the best of your advantage, and, you know, make yourself stand out that way, you know.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's super helpful. And the reason I ask is because, you know, like you say, like, you got to get familiar with how recruiters respond. You got to get familiar with the language of the industry you're trying to penetrate, right? You got to do all these different things while managing being a husband and being a father too, you know? So that balance of also being a youth pastor, you know, going back and making sure everybody is doing what they need to do. But, you know, I think that balance of what's happening and how it's happening, as we're kind of, you know, thinking of what got you to that point, as we're kind of wrapping up too, you know, what was the roadmap that kind of got you on that, to build that bridge, to also be like, okay, I'm networking, but I'm setting up, you know, was it a 90-day plan, a 6-month plan? Like, what was that roadmap like for you?
Yeah. Like, how did I get to where I wanted to be?
Is that exactly? Yeah, so like after your interview, like what was your roadmap of like, okay, I'm in the SDR seat. Like what was next for Eric after that?
Like when I was hunting for the interview.
Like, yeah, no, after you got the like you're in the interview, after you got the job, like what were the kind of things as far as like success or like what were you measuring from what you learned, as you were kind of learning the language, using Coursera, just learning the systems, using Apollo, like just learning the workflow. Then you get the role. Like, what was the roadmap like for you as you got into the actual seat to do the job?
Like when I got hired, and then now,
Yeah.
like after 90 days, like,
Yeah.
yeah, there. I mean, it wasn't really any difference. I felt like, yeah, like I did what I was applying for, you know. So when I got familiar with these tools, when I was prospecting the hiring managers, when I was understanding the correct ICTs, what they call it, all these terminologies did not go away. It was like, yeah, like you're continuing learning still. Like I'm still learning a bunch of this
Yeah.
terminology. It's never ending. So yeah, I guess always be learning. Don't think that you have graduated from the whole thing. Just know that it's always going to be something new to learn.
And then the reason
Yeah.
I ask is because I want to bring up, you and I have talked about it, but in your time, you've had about three different promotions. So, talk to me a little bit about getting three promotions. From what we've already talked about of 16 years being somewhere, 1 year doing funeral sales, and you go somewhere else, you do the job of everything you just talked about to get there, and you get promoted three times. So walk
Yeah.
me through that.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to really putting in the work, being about your business and not really letting wishful thinking just fall on your lap, right? Like you really have to go out there and apply everything that you learn. So when I was sitting there, I was like, okay, I want to get promoted quickly, so I need to show that I have what it takes. So I reached out to the top performers. I was like, "Hey, what do you do in this situation?" I learned from them. I learned from my manager. Understand to do everything he told me to do, and he literally built everything out, roadmapped everything out for me, and I was just like, "Oh, cool." So yeah, like I think I don't know. It's just crazy. Like, just put your head down. Work hard. I worked hard, and I don't know. Like, I felt like the promotion wasn't even on my radar. It was just like, I want to do this job well, and the opportunity did kind of just fall in my lap. But I mean, that's the fruit of my labor too, right? And I always mentioned as well, like, I do want to become an account executive. I made it clear, like, hey, this is my goal. Like, I want to not just be an SDR for forever. I actually want to jump into this specific role, showing that I do desire that. So,
No, that's
yeah.
helpful. And I mean, you started from inbound SDR to outbound SDR to an account executive. So anybody who's watching and listening, my final question is like, what would be your advice to somebody who's gonna watch and say, okay, wow, I really liked everything I heard from Eric. What would be your final words for them saying, hey, you know what? I spent my time here, but also I went somewhere else and I didn't expect from what I was even looking for, because I was already just excited about the SDR role. So, we
Yeah.
talked about that build up, but then
Yeah.
what I'm hearing too is God had bigger plans than what you had originally sought out for. So, as we wrap, what would be some advice that you would give somebody?
Yeah. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid of stepping out. Don't be afraid, because fear can paralyze you. Knowing that it's not going to get you anywhere. So I told myself, or one of the things that I learned during this journey was, don't think or say, I wonder what my life would look like if I did this. I wonder what, I was like, take the wonder out of it and just do it. And you might fail, but let that failure be an opportunity for you to learn from. At least you can say, hey, I tried it. It didn't work. But I'm gonna try something new. I'm gonna try something different that does actually fits what I'm trying to pursue, right? So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to jump and take and learn from your mistakes. Know that failure is just an opportunity to learn from, and you'll be successful. I think like don't be afraid is what I would encourage somebody. Don't be afraid to do something new. Don't be afraid to learn the hard skills, the soft skills that you need, because there's a bunch of opportunities for you out there. You just got to be willing to put in the work and the action, and do it. You know, don't live that wishful thinking. I wonder, don't let that paralyze you. You just have to do it. And then you'll know, you know, your answer will be right there. You know, you'll never know unless you take that jump.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful, and ex thank you so much for explaining that and putting that into good context too, because exactly what you're describing is a lot of what we see in America today of people facing, where they went to college and they didn't get the job they wanted. So they think there's nothing left for them. But the reason we wanted to talk about career pivoting is you and myself have had to pivot multiple times in our careers, and it's led us to be more successful down the road because of the pivot. So hopefully anybody who's going to watch is going to hear your story and be inspired to understand it doesn't matter if the cells you're in are dying, like you mentioned, from the funeral cells literally dying, but also, you could be somewhere for a decade plus and feel like, if I do leave, what else could there be for me? And all you kind of proved and shared with us is that there's not only more, but as you even got into the position you desired, God had a bigger plan for you overall than what you had truly started off and truly desired. And the last thing I want to say is the only thing that happens from that is preparation always meets opportunity. And the more you're prepared in life, the more opportunity doors open up. So thank you so much, Eric, for joining me on the deep
Yeah,
dive, second
absolutely.
episode down. Man,
Yeah.
appreciate this. This was fantastic. I can't wait to see all the things we get from it. Can't wait to hear what everybody thinks. But again, thank you so much for joining me.
Appreciate you, Clarence.
All right, man. We'll